Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980, and we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 105 as we take you around the DMV here on this Sunday afternoon. Busy, busy sports day. Game 2 of the worst NBA finals ever, according to you non-basketball-loving curmudgeons. I can't wait to talk about it. Absolute fireworks in game number one. We'll see if OKC and Indiana can match their energy from Thursday night. We got Nats baseball on tap here this afternoon as well. We will lead you directly into that. It is a 1:35 first pitch, and pregame coverage gets rolling right here on The Fan at 1:05. Nats split a pair with the Texas Rangers thus far this weekend, and one of the old issues with the Curly W's is rearing its ugly head. Offense has struggled, it feels like, here for the past two series. And we'll bring in Locked On Little Top. I think that may be the final. that may be the final rendition of your name. Locked On Little Top, Ben Strober.
There we go.
Behind the glass, taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. I know you've watched this thing pretty closely. It's what me and you like to do. Especially on a day like yesterday where there's just really nothing going on, it felt like.
Yeah.
It was hot, nasty. I actually sat down and watched a good chunk of the game yesterday, and it was boring as hell because this group, you know, struggled to get any hits. And look, I think the bigger story yesterday is actually not even about the Nationals. It's about Jacob deGrom looking like him, bouncing back, looking like the ace that we know that he is. He was absolutely awesome, allowing just two hits in seven shutout innings. And if you're the Rangers right now, their win yesterday put them five games back of the final wild card spot in the American League. That's the type of win that you needed if you were the Texas Rangers. On the flip side, it's crazy. We were actually, every time we bring up a guy and ask if he should be taken out of the starting rotation, he just throws gas. Yesterday, that was Mitchell Parker. Before yesterday, Mitchell Parker hadn't gone more than 4 1/3 since, like, the first month of the season. And yesterday I thought he was pretty damn good. Six innings, four hits allowed, punched out five, but unfortunately the offense couldn't follow up. This felt like a 2023-24 Nationals game. Three hits, Ben? Come on.
The offense has disappeared completely. They've only scored 9 runs over the past 6 games. They've somehow won 2 of those games, which is unbelievable. They shut out the Cubs a couple nights back when I was there, and then they also shut out the Rangers. So if you don't give up any runs, you're going to win the game. I guess that makes sense mathematically, doesn't it, Linnell?
It does.
Anyways, you're not going to shut out teams every single night. Mitchell Parker yesterday, you think in the first inning he gives up a run and then another one that was unearthed because of the error to Robert Hassel. You start to think, all right, here we go again with this first inning struggles for Mitchell Parker. And then he turns in a quality start. He retired 14 straight batters really following the first inning. I think he gave up 3 hits in that first inning, and then he only allowed 1 more through his next 5 innings of work. And it's just kind of unacceptable how the Nationals have been unable to give so many of their pitchers run support. Mackenzie Gore the other night, if he didn't win that game.
I know.
I mean, you'd have to imagine if you're Mackenzie Gore, you go to the front office and demand a trade right away because nobody's going to hit when you're pitching. He goes out there and is nearly perfect after the first inning. He allows the first 3 to reach base on a single, and then after that, untouchable. Nobody could touch the guy, and he goes through 7 inning strongs, and finally they broke through later in the game. But that's been the thing with this Nationals team. It's inconsistency, the streakiness of the bats, and I don't know what it is because I feel like the team right now lacks a killer instinct. You get so close to being back to 500, being in a competitive spot within 4 to 5 games of the wild card, and then suddenly the team just tails off and starts to play its worst ball that it hasn't played really in over a month and a half.
Well, lucky for them, the old baseball gods, the schedule makers, you got a little bit of a soft stretch in your schedule coming up. First of all, this series should have been considered that.
The Rangers are bad.
Yeah, the Rangers aren't very good.
Yesterday was only the 22nd time all year they'd scored more than 4 runs.
Well,
they're a team that can't score.
Yeah, that's
and you're still losing to them.
And you gave up 5. I mean, Eduardo Salazar. I mean, take a bow.
Well, if he's in the game's over.
Yeah.
I think the Nats punted at that point in the 8th inning when they put him in because they knew they couldn't hit.
Didn't want to waste an arm. Yeah, I understand it totally.
Game's over and he's in.
Talking about perseverance, young pup Cole Henry showed some perseverance as well, getting himself out of a jam. He just continues his scoreless streak that he's been on. It's so weird, man. If it's not one thing, it's another for this group. It's either the bats aren't cracking, or the pen is absolutely lifeless. So that's been kind of the frustrating part about this. The big story, though, DeGrom looked good for the Rangers. I know they're happy about that. But Mitch Parker, good start for Mitch Parker. At some point, Cade Cavalli will be called up.
Yeah.
So to me, it's between Trevor Williams and Mitchell Parker. Soroka tossed a really fine outing. What was it, Friday night, I thought?
Yeah.
Was really solid, and that was the type of performance that looked like year 2 Michael Soroka, like when he was in Atlanta throwing gas. So like when Cade Cavalli ultimately gets called up, I mean the impending move, I'm still curious to see what it is. I would have to think it's Trevor Williams. It just seems like that's the likely guy to go.
Well, here's the issue with that though. What I think will happen personally, and I know Nationals fans, including myself, are probably not going to be happy with this move. I think Mitchell Parker gets the option and goes back to AAA, and Trevor Williams probably goes to the bullpen.
To the bullpen.
Because Trevor Williams doesn't have an option. If they wanted to get rid of him, they would just be releasing him straight up. He would no longer be with the organization. Mitchell Parker, you know, they haven't sent him down since he's been up. So he's got, you know, plenty of options to work with. You can send him back to AAA for the time being if you want him to still consistently start games to develop down there. I think that kind of makes sense. I think that's what they did with Daylen Lyle here when Jacob Young came back. I know it's tough to see a guy like Daylen Lyle who had shown some flashes through his first 2 weeks in the big league, but he is a guy that needs to play every day for his development. So I understand the thinking, sending him back to AAA Rochester. It's going to be really interesting, though, what happens when Dylan Cruz eventually comes back and how they're going to shape that up, because Hassel and Lyle are guys that need to play every single day.
You know what's going to happen.
Tell me.
Bye-bye Alex Call. That's probably what, like...
Yeah, I think Alex Call, you know, probably gets the boot at that point. But Jacob Young is not really doing himself any favors either.
Nah, did he have a hit on Friday night when he got called?
He had a bunt single.
So
basically all he can do at this point, or that's all he's done offensively really this season.
Struggle bus.
He's got the speed, and he's got a great glove in the outfield, but, you know, it gets to a point.
Well, this is the dilemma coming out of spring training. Do you go with Robert Hassel, do you go with, I just completely blanked on Jacob Young's name for a hot 3 seconds. So you go with Jacob Young. Like, that was the dilemma coming out of spring ball, and Hassel was hitting it well there. And as we've gotten, what, 60-plus games in the regular season here? What regular season? This is 65 today. We're about 65 games into the regular season, and that dilemma that we were talking about back in the spring is starting to come up here. I think it's a positive, though, ultimately, that you have is it too – are they not good enough to call it a logjam in the outfield? Like, I think they have options in the outfield, and I think they have a lot of good developmental options.
That's why it's a logjam. It's not a logjam because they have so many guys that are so good that, you know, you can't figure out who to play because all of them are going to impact the way you win games. But it's because from a developmental standpoint, they have to play every day to develop. And I think the Orioles missed big time on some of the prospects that they have. Heston Kjerstad, he has looked awful with that organization in the field and at the plate. And I think part of that is because they had him up for so long, but he's not playing. Yeah. And I think if you have guys that are kind of just rotting on the bench all season long, instead of playing in the minor leagues, getting at bats and, you know, getting used to the grind of playing every single day in the big leagues or even just in the minor leagues, you know, it kills the development. So I absolutely understand the thinking of Lyle going down. I think Hassel at this point has, you know, proven himself a little bit more. He's been up longer, obviously, than Lyle. There's a reason he was called up first. So,
better prospect.
Yeah. It makes sense. And then when Dylan Cruz come back, I mean, you're going to see him play center field because that needs to be your center fielder. I think Hassel is better suited as a right fielder, even though he doesn't naturally play it as much as he probably did center in the minor leagues and throughout his early pro ball career. But Dylan Cruz has to be your center fielder. He's your number two overall pick. Probably arguably the best glove on the team other than Jacob Young. So that's going to be the situation. And then you find yourself with Alex Call probably being the odd man out in that situation.
So you're now 6.5 back.
Or Jacob Young.
Now 6.5 back in the final wild card spot. This was supposed to be a 3-series stretch to me where you really were able to gain some ground. I feel like you should take 3 out of 3 versus Texas. You'll have a tough series against New York coming up next week. But then you get Miami and Colorado back to back. So, like, that's a real opportunity for you to run off 7 in a row, in my opinion, because I don't think
they won't win 7 in a row. Tell you that.
Well, Miami will have something to say about that. But
I think we always lose to Miami.
It's weird, right? It's the most disgusting thing ever. I just think anytime you get a 4-game series with Colorado, not a 3-game series, you got to take advantage
of it. Colorado actually swept Miami last week.
Well, so there's that. You should run off 7 in a row. And that would show me, I just don't know. Baseball is just such a different sport when it comes to, like, the cerebral side of the game. To me, it's so many things impact momentum and the ebbs and flows of the game. The way that they're playing right now wouldn't stun me if they couldn't hit the ball still against New York. But if they come out and you see the Colorado logo on the team's hat, like, do you not automatically think, oh, we're going to have a field day? Just like, you know, look, in high school, I was that guy.
You need confidence.
In high school, I was that guy. Team saw, we were everyone's homecoming. Magruder. You see Magruder on the schedule for homecoming, you're licking your chops. So, like, I understand the opposite side of it, but, like, if you're, it kind of stung me. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid on a terrible spot in the shower when you mentioned, like, you know, this was an opportunity for you to gain some ground in the wild card race, and they missed an opportunity. And here's the thing about when bats go cold. There's no real sign of when they'll come back. That's kind of the thing to me. Is it going to take – remember we were talking about this before, aura with guys. Like, if I was a player in that clubhouse and I saw, oh, it's a Jake Irvin start or it's a Mackenzie Gore start, I got my swagger about me. I'm feeling good. I feel like I'll go to the plate and have a good day just because I know that I don't have to do much because they're not going to give up much. Didn't happen the other night. Bats were – frost the ice cold when Mackenzie Gore got the ball as well. So,
but here's the thing with the 2 series coming up after the Mets. The Mets are in first place in the NL East. They've been really good, great offensively. If the bats can heat up in that series, and I'm not saying the Nationals need to sweep the Mets or even win that series, it'd be nice to, but if the bats can at least get going in a couple of losses in that series, that might at least help them
ignite
into the series against Miami and Colorado because you just need a spark at this point. 9 runs.
That's
in 6 games.
Yeah, that's not.
You're never going to, you know, play consistent winning baseball with the way their bats have just gone cold in so many stretches this year.
Yeah, it's been ugly to watch. I'll be very honest with you with that. So they got New York coming up for 3 and beautiful thing about New York is they get to see Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore. So that makes you feel good, and you're going to need him against, as you alluded to, a super high-octane offensive group that's super hot at the plate right now. And then you got Miami for three at home. Then you got Colorado for four. That's seven straight at home, Ben. You say they don't have to win seven straight. It's starting to get, what was the old saying? It's starting to get late early in terms of where you need to be. I'll even say by the second week of July, because I understand the deadline's at the end of July.
Yeah.
But where you are in the couple of series leading up to the deadline, I think, is going to have major major ramifications in terms of like what it is and what it ain't. Are you going to shake a leg or lose one if you're Mike Rizzo and company? Do you think you're close enough? Are you confident enough in your bunch to go out and add somebody? Because say what you want about their inability to draft, develop, and retain. Don't pick up the phone when Big Mike calls you. I think that's what I'll call him during trade deadline season. Big Mike. Seriously.
Look, seven straight at home. And the first game you're at home, you have Nelly performing after you. So if you
Friday night.
If you lose that one, cooked.
Nelly.
You can't lose with Nelly in the building.
No, you can't. Natasha Bedingfield was in the building on Friday night. And they won. So there we go. 1-800-636-1067. A lot more to get to, as we mentioned. We'll take you up the Nats baseball right here on The Fan. 105 is when the pregame coverage gets rolling with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. First pitch set for 135. When we come back, I teased you all about it when we started the show here. The worst NBA finals in history. Game two of that is tonight. OKC, 10.5-point favorites. What type of shot and how differently do I view this series now that Indiana stole game number one in OKC? We'll give you a preview of game two of the NBA finals next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get a remix going. It's the youngest in charge. 1-800-636-1067, the number right here on The Fan. We're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980 as well. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Youngest in charge, L. Willingham, alongside little top Ben Strober. He's answering your calls and chiming in as well at 1-800-636-1067. We will let you hear from the defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, Joe Witt Jr., before we get out of here. I thought his pre-practice media availability on Wednesday ahead of the second open voluntary OTA to the media, I mean, it gave me chills. It literally, I don't want to hyperbolize it, it gave me chills. First and foremost, think about his introductory press conference here in D.C. as a defensive coordinator. I was ready to literally run through a wall for the guy. And he has been the same dude pretty much week in, week out. And it's a big reason why, you know, despite the personnel maybe not being all it could be or not being the best, I think, I still feel like this Commanders defense will take a step forward next year because of the guy that's pushing the buttons. I think Joe Witt is just, he's a mad scientist. And I think last year, first and foremost, right, for all of the bad things we had to say about the defense last year, and it was really just the run defense, think about how improved they were from the season prior. That's how I wanted to look at this Commanders defense this year. So while, you know, the offense was obviously ahead of schedule and the straw that stirred the drink for this group, defensively they did improve last year. So I don't want to act like it was just all bad and all terrible. But next year, this Commanders defense going to be under the microscope, really. And if they don't perform better, if they don't take another step forward, you may not see this team be able to replicate last year's success. 1-800-636-1067. Game two of the NBA Finals coming up later on tonight. And Ben, you weren't here yesterday. I don't know if you were listening on your way home at all. I mean, I almost had a heart attack on the air. I wanted to lose my mind.
I called in.
You called. So this is before we even got.
Okay.
This is before we got into the college football mumbo jumbo.
Okay.
And he actually threw us a great assist with that. People talking about TV ratings, I'm literally getting worked up again thinking about it. If you're not a TV executive, if you don't work for Fox, NBC, ESPN, NBA TV, shut the hell up about TV ratings. What do they matter?
You know who it is that cares the most about it?
And
I can just tell from personal experience. It's all the hockey lovers.
Ah!
Hockey lovers love to trash the NBA. I'm telling you, all of my friends that are NHL stands, big Capitals fans, anytime there's an NBA game, they're like, don't care. Trash league. Ratings terrible. Boring game. Everything.
Who are you, Chris Russell? I mean, jeez. That actually...
Hockey lovers
hate
the NBA.
You just...
Because that's its main competitor, basically.
You just unearthed something that, like... It's their direct competition. Think about when both of these leagues start.
Same time.
NHL regular
season. Finals seasons, and Stanley Cup. Same time.
Wow. They'll never. That's like, but you can't get mad at somebody or be jealous of somebody you know you'll just never be better than. You know what I'm saying? The only hockey stars that really exist is Gordie Howe, Alex Ovechkin, and Wayne Gretzky. In the NBA, every era we've got a star. I didn't expect this to be the bit that I did right now, but it's not even that I'm anti-NHL. I'm anti-people poo-pooing on the current state of the NBA and acting as if the era of basketball that they watched was just so much better than what we're getting right now. And I always say it anytime I bring up the NBA. Because of the star power that currently exists in the league, because of the talent that currently exists in the league, this is the golden era of NBA basketball. Guys were never as talented as they are right now. Think about the early to mid-90s and the stars that there were. For every star that there was, in the mid-90s, there are two now. Does that make sense? Like, think about the guys that people have to go through. Giannis, SGA, Joker, Steph Curry, LeBron, Kevin Durant. Those were like all the stars back in the day.
And think about the way social media in this age has influenced the way we look at players who might not even have superstar status yet. And I know this is a debate. It's a debate at this point whether people want to consider Haliburton a superstar player. I mean, what he's done this playoffs, like,
you don't go on this type of postseason run and not be a superstar.
He's a superstar player, but some people who don't even believe it, they're still so in to what he's doing because of everything that is marketed around it and what he's accomplished. What the Halle?
Yeah.
What the Halle Burton?
Rob for a nine. You want to talk about
like it's ridiculous. And the way social media can influence that, I think that's why the NBA will always have such a buzz around it, especially this time of year, because this is where the stars come to shine.
For sure.
Tyrese Haliburton hitting all the game winners in the playoffs. It's must-see stuff.
Dude, I took a
picture. I was going crazy in my house when he hit that shot against the other night, because just like, the hell did he do it again? How?
How the hell?
It's
really, it's bonkers what he's been able to do, bro.
There's black magic in Indiana. It's crazy.
Dude,
it's a bit that keeps on giving.
I'm telling you. So it was his fourth game-tying or go-ahead field goal in the final 5 seconds of the fourth quarter overtime this postseason. He is on quite literally a historic run. And if you were watching this thing the other night, I think, and Ben, this is why I love being able to pair up with you. You've played in big games before because you went to Big Red, right? You've played in plenty of big games in your career, right? So you know how it is, though, bro. When you're in a big game situation, no matter how long you've played the game, bro, you get tired a little bit quicker. Your legs get a little bit heavier, faster. I think you saw that from the outset of game one of the finals. Two teams that don't have a lot of NBA final experience. The shot making wasn't very good to start. Indiana turned the ball over 19 times in the first half. It was the most ever in the 2000s in terms of a finals game.
The same people that complained, though, that the game was terrible or whatever because there were turnovers and a lot of missed shots, those are the same people that say college basketball is so much better because it's lower scoring.
No, it's contradictory. It makes no sense at all. I just think people want something to pick at, to poke at.
You can't have it both ways. If you don't like the games being 140 to 135, then you can't complain when the game is actually 110 to 108.
So I will say this to the defense of the OGs out there, and I hate that I'm doing this. Watching SGA the other night, and in the fourth quarter, something about the fourth quarter with him, when the lead started to evaporate, it felt like he got passive. But his ability to get to any spot he wants to and rise up, I have my comp for him now. I don't know if I've said this while working with you. I have my comp for him.
What is it?
He is a 6'7 Kevin Durant. He plays like
much
KD.
Smaller.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People want to go Kobe. I think, I don't know. I don't want to. The back to the basket game is similar to Kobe, but
he's got the twitch, though. That's a little different than, I think that sets him apart from KD, is the way he can get to the rim a little bit quicker. I think KD always had the length going for
prime
him.
Prime Kevin, boy.
I mean, ridiculous. But the shot-creating ability is definitely, you know, where you get that comparison. It makes perfect sense. Him getting passive toward the end of the game, I noticed as well. It's because there's something about this Indiana team that we've seen the entire playoffs. Late in the games, when they start to go on these runs, they have such a knack for making the other team so uncomfortable.
Intense, yes, I agree.
For whatever reason, when they just turn up late in the game, it almost seems like whoever they're playing just forgets how to play offense. They can't score anymore. And then the Pacers will always just make a clutch shot.
So how do you describe this then? Was it a end of game collapse from Oklahoma City, or is it kudos to the Pacers for, and you know how hard this is, when you're down in a game in the fourth quarter, so I'll pull up the play-by-play here. I think they were down 15 with 9 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. It's so difficult during those circumstances, right, to continue to have the discipline to take good shots every time down. And I think you saw that from Indiana. I think it was the Neesmith three was the first three that I think got everything rolling.
Once they got back within single digits, I was like, all right, here we go. The Pacers are very much in this game based on what they've done all postseason. But it's not fluke anymore.
No.
And the thing that's so historic about what happened the other day, I think it was the first time in NBA history that a team trailed by 9, I believe, with 3:30 or less to go and won the game. And that just shows you like how unprecedented it is. Usually teams like Oklahoma City and in the past other teams who are in that much control where they can have nearly a double-digit lead with 3.5 minutes to go, they're not going to surrender that lead. It usually just doesn't happen. But there's something about the way the Pacers play and how they go on these runs where I don't even see it as a collapse because the Pacers have done it all
postseason.
This is
who they are.
This is how they win.
You gotta
they just win like this.
You got to believe it at some point.
It's not fluke.
Tonight's going to be interesting, though. OKC is 10.5-point favorites. I can see them dog-walking Indiana tonight. That's normally how the playoffs go.
I think they win, but I don't know about 10.5 points is a lot.
Well, I got something that may convince you a little bit. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, post-game. Well, not post-game the other night. This was actually from yesterday after their shoot-around in practice. As dialed in as you'll hear a guy that had a pretty interesting game, number one. Went crazy from the scoring department, 38 points, but SGA knows that despite them losing game one, they got to treat it like it's a 0-0 series.
Or is there something extra?
Yeah, it does feel like that. Now, day to day interactions, like our moods, I think he's talking more so, like those normally change. The losses are a little bit louder, obviously, like they hurt more, and you try to, like you try to get better through them, and it's a lot easier to learn from a loss than it is from a win, just off of like the emotional aspect of it, and I think that's probably why it looks the way it does. Coach is right, like nothing really changes, we just, the losses hurt a little bit more, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, the mentality that OKC's got to have tonight, I wouldn't even say it's too early to be desperate, right? So I wouldn't even say act like it's do or die for you, because then as a young team, maybe that's when you start pressing. But I'm saying act like game one never happened, because if you watch this game, they've thoroughly outplayed Indiana for about 41 minutes of this game. They thoroughly outplayed the Pacers. Defensively, they were in them, making things super difficult. We mentioned the 19 first half turnovers that they were able to force. I think the recipe for OKC, you found it. You know what it is. You know how you have to play. It's about execution, point blank. How are you going to execute? And I think the other key, if you are OKC, you got to feel good about yourself, because you know one thing that happened on Thursday night probably isn't going to happen again. Obi Toppin turned into damn Reggie Miller at 5 of 8 from downtown, knocking down big time shot after big time shot. He was huge in that game. Can you count on that again? Probably not. What I think needs to happen, though, for OKC, Jalen Williams has got to be better. 6 of 19, which is 17 points in game number one. The real efficient second option was Lu Dort. He had 5 threes, was going Kanye crazy. SGA, I was co-hosted with Toby in here for B. Mitch and Philly on Friday, and he brought up SGA being inefficient, right? He was 14 of 30, though. So it's like, it took you 30 shots to get to 38 points. I don't know if I would describe that as inefficient. I think he's got to be more aggressive. That's the one thing I keep going back to with him. It should be in the finals. When your co-star, Jalen Williams, ain't playing worth a damn, it should be 30 to 35 shots. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver spoke on Friday afternoon and gave some major insight into some changes that could be coming for the league, including a revamped 2026 All-Star Weekend. I'll give you the details on that next. This is The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
one 800 636 1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 105 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They're bringing the series finale of Nats and Rangers out here at the ballpark. 1:35 first pitch. You can hear the action right here on The Fan. As we get to the 11 o'clock hour, we'll start to switch gears, talk a little bit of National Football League. Certain quarterback signed this weekend. Aaron Rodgers, now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where does it put the black and gold when it comes to the hierarchy of the AFC? We'll get into that in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll also let you hear from the defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, Joe Witt Jr., as he spoke before the second voluntary OTA practice. I was out there, boots on the ground, at voluntary OTA, so I'll empty my OTA notebook before we get out of here as well. So plenty more to get to, and we'll recap, or excuse me, we'll continue the conversation on the NBA Finals as well before we get out of here. Adam Silver, though, NBA commish, there was a lot that he said over the past couple of days in terms of what is next for the NBA. I want to start with the topic of expansion. So Adam Silver expects NBA owners to urge formal expansion talks. Ben, I'm going to email you this soundbite here of Adam Silver, because I do think it's better to hear it from the horse's mouth, not just mine. But, you know, whenever Adam Silver speaks, I first of all think he is one of the better commissioners in pro sports. I think he's a forward-thinking, progressive guy. And I think that, you know, traditionally, you don't hear the complaints about Adam Silver, right, that you hear about some of the other commissioners in professional sports, right? Silver gets it. And I think his willingness to listen to the players and fans and media, I think, is why the NBA, despite what some people think, is in such a tremendous spot. And every, what is it, like President's Day normally, right after All-Star Weekend? Every President's Day, the last 3 years, I've taken an hour worth of calls to start the show on All-Star weekend. Because normally everyone's out that day, and I'm in sitting in for somebody. And for the last 3 years since I've been hosting, or 2 years, however long it's been, I take an hour of calls on All-Star weekend and how bad it is that people get all upset and worked up. And it's one of those things where it's not like the NBA is not trying to fix it. It's just hard when this current era of stars have decided they're going to punt on the weekend.
The funniest thing about the All-Star game, for me at least, is I just don't give a damn about it. I don't give a damn about any All-Star games, for that matter. So the reason I'm not watching is not because I think the format sucks or anything like that. I just don't care about All-Star games. I just think they're kind of a waste of time. You probably don't agree with me with that. But
I don't like it either, bro. I like real sports.
Bro, you remember how bad the Pro Bowl was in like 2010 where the linemen used to just stand there?
Yeah.
That's when I was like, I'm never watching an All-Star game again. I'll watch the baseball one for like an inning or two because like baseball, you kind of have to at least sort of try.
You can't pretend really. Baseball, you get hurt.
The rest of them, I'm just like, what's the point? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, so the NFL, what I think, their skills competition, I think, is what matters the most. And what is most entertaining to watch, the punt, pass, kick stuff, seeing how far a wide receiver can throw a football, things like that. Like, I get geeked up, I get excited for that. I do. But as far as All-Star Weekend, the major change that Adam Silver is proposing for All-Star Weekend, not even proposing, it's going to happen. It's going to shift to some sort of Team USA versus the world format for next year's All-Star Game. And all of you know what that's going to do. It's going to louden. It's going to make the conversation and push the conversation to the forefront in terms of right now the best talent in the NBA is not from America. The top stars in this league, the two best players in this league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic, are not of American descent. So when we see Team USA versus the world, maybe some humble pie coming for us Americanans when it comes to the talent of the NBA. So Silver went on to add, I don't think a straight-up USA versus the world makes sense, adding that international players make up 30% of the league while American players account for 70%. That's not what they did in the NHL either. There'll probably be some different teams we form. And he also goes on to say, I think we could play off of that nationalism. We're moving to NBC next year for the All-Star game, where we used to be for so many years. We'll be smack in the middle of the Winter Olympics competition on NBC. That's interesting as well. Damn, the Winter Olympics is this winter? I hate the Olympics. That was going to just sound so un-American to me. It's hard to keep up with. So Summer Olympics is every 4, and winter is every 2?
I think it's also 4. They're just different timelines.
They're just different. I'm an idiot. Don't listen to what I say when I'm not talking about football, basketball. I think when it comes to All-Star Weekend and improving the competitiveness of the game, I don't think making it USA versus the world is going to change anything. I really don't. You're still going to have pro players that fear getting hurt.
I just don't think it matters, period. They can make the format whatever the hell they want.
Exactly. They need to. You know what they need to do?
They could do a 6 foot under team and then 6 foot over if they want. And it's still going to be the same thing.
That's a good idea, though, by the way.
It'd be kind of funny.
You should pitch that.
pitch it to who?
Somebody. You know what else I thought about? I don't know if you got to catch any of the highlights of Lance Stephenson versus Mike Beasley in this one-on-one game for $100,000 they just played. That's what needs to happen. The competitive spirit that you see in a one-on-one contest, you got to look this. Check your Twitter. Do something. You know how them Bambas talk trash, first and foremost. So just must-see TV, super entertaining stuff. It was really, really fun to watch. Here is Adam Silver talking about the idea of expansion. Take a listen. Get that to you here in a second. But so something else that Adam Silver spoke about, too. There's Adam.
Two ways. One, there, of course, are expansion of current, NBA teams. And there, I'd say the current, I view that as a form of expansion as well. And that's something we're also thinking hard about.
So that was a piece of Adam Silver's annual press conference that he holds right before game one of the finals. I want to take a quick time out when we come back. I want to parse through some more of what he said. He spoke on a couple of different things, revamped All-Star Weekend, and then the idea of shortening the NBA's 82-game regular season. I know it's been a hot-button topic amongst fans. What did the commissioner of the NBA have to say about it? We'll tell you next here on The Fan. One 800 636 1067 is the number. Tapped into the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 105 before we lead you in, or excuse me, as we lead you in the Nats baseball series finale for the Washington Nationals as they try to take 2 out of 3 against the Texas Rangers. It is who's on the bump this afternoon? We were saying it earlier. Who's getting the start today? Wow, I can't believe I just blanked on it too. Trevor Williams getting the start this afternoon. For the Washington Nationals, it is a 1:35 first pitch. And as always, you can hear all of the action right here on The Fan. Dude, today is like a pretty historic day for DC sports in terms of the three things that happened on this day several different years ago. We will break some of those to you as we roll throughout the show. Wow. June 8th, important day in DC sports history, I'm finding out. All of a sudden. So I was talking about the one-on-one game between Lance Stephenson and Michael Beasley. And I think the NBA, if they're going to try to improve the allure and interest level in All-Star Weekend, I think that's one way to do it. And it's a lot easier, a lot more difficult, rather, to get hurt playing one-on-one than it is playing five-on-five. So I do think you'll get guys to play hard, and you don't want to get embarrassed out there. So there's a pride thing. A level of pride rather that kicks in as well, where you're like, man, I ain't trying to get cooked. So I'm going to play hard. I'm going to give it everything I got. Adam Silver also spoke about something that a lot of fans have complained about. So one solution that the old heads have for improving the NBA is going, hey, why don't we shorten the NBA regular season? And I think, first and foremost, my initial thought when I hear that is, well, is that really a thing? When you think about how much money is in these TV contracts, I don't know if the NBA can afford to do that. I just don't. Because if that's the case, does baseball really need 162 damn games? I really don't know if that's the case. Right? Like, does baseball really need 162? Probably not. Does hockey, a physical, bruising sport like that, does it really need 82? Probably not. But you know what it is? I realized this during COVID. COVID opened up my eyes. Right? When they forced the NFL and NBA to continue to play during COVID, you know what it showed me? Okay. Not only are these TV contracts huge, they're so huge, the NBA deals and the NFL TV contracts, I think, play a huge part in the functionality of the United States economy. Like, it gets that deep. Entertainment is such a big, big thing in this country. Am I tripping here? Do you pick up what I'm putting down? During COVID is when I learned about it. They forced guys to play in a bubble just so they can air the games on TV still. The NFL built a ridiculous set of protocols just so they could have the games televised. So in terms of taking games away from the NBA and having them lose money, probably not. This is the quote from Adam Silver, who shot down the idea of reducing the NBA's 82-game regular season, saying it wouldn't work for numbers reasons. Quote, money's part of it. There's no question about it. We're a business. Having said that, I don't really see the benefit in reducing the number of games. Adam Silver, are you an idiot? I understand, like, you have to protect the integrity of your sport. I understand you have to defend your decision-making. You don't see the benefit of reducing the number of games? You idiot. What do you mean you don't see the benefits? Why do people load manage? Huh? Why? Come on. People used to say you reduced the, this is continuing the quote from Silver. People used to say you reduce the number of games because it will lead to a reduction in the number of injuries. We have absolutely no data to suggest that. If that were the case, you would think you would have more injuries in April than in October. We don't see that. Or you think you see more injuries in the playoffs than you do in the regular season. We don't see that either. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Look at Jason Tatum. Jalen Brunson. I mean, come on, Adam Silver.
I just think it's more competitive. You put more value on the regular season
That's
if they reduce
point.
The amount of regular season games. Because you and I were just talking about those 17 weeks of regular season football.
Like it.
It's so insane because, one, you can follow every team at the same time. You know what's happening around the NFL. And every game just matters so much around the entire league. If you're playing 82 games and now that 60% of the league makes the playoffs, there's not much value in the regular season
anymore. At all.
That's why people aren't as entertained by it.
And I'm not even saying you got to do something drastic. You know, I don't know if you do like regular season, or excuse me, franchise mode on 2K. You can reduce the number of games in your 2K season. They have 82 games as an option. Then I think it's 65, and then I think it's 48. 65-game regular season seems about right.
That sounds good.
Think about when the lockout happened, right? And they had their first day. This is what I think the NBA should move to for ratings purposes, but they probably end up getting crapped on. Christmas Day should be the first game of the regular season. But now that the NFL has kind of stolen Christmas, I don't know if that'd be a good idea either. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. A lot more to get to as we take you up to 105 as we'll lead you in the Nats baseball. When we come back, we will get to the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers, now the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How does it change the hierarchy in the AFC? We'll get to that next. This is The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.